Morning. Welcome, everybody. My name is Lee Lewis, and I'm a teacher here. And I'm going to talk today about Zen as inquiry or investigation. Sean, could you put the clock out where I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. On the bulletin this morning is a quote, and it's a quote by Bill Porter. It says, "Buddhism is better understood as a skill or an art to be practiced and perfected than as information or knowledge to be learned." So our practice in our Zen tradition is to sit in silence, to meditate, to let go of thoughts, to focus on the here and now. It's a very soft tradition. Welcome. Grab a seat. There are some other traditions where you get whacked on the shoulders if you're falling asleep. There are other traditions where there's a lot of usage of koans and verbal challenging. But our tradition is pretty simple, generally speaking. It's sitting, facing the wall, focusing on the breath, back upright, and let go of thoughts. However, I think of Zazen as active, as activity. And a lot of the Zen masters are always asking us to investigate, to study. Ehe Dogen, who is the founder of our school, talks a lot about investigation and study and be sharp and be present. And I'll quote here. He's talking about green mountains are always walking and eastern mountains travel on water, and we won't get into that. Oh yeah, but let me quote. "Turning an object and turning the mind is rejected by the great sage. Explaining the mind and explaining true nature is not agreeable to Buddha ancestors. Seeing into mind and seeing into true nature is the activity of people outside the way. Set words and phrases are not the words of liberation. There is something free from all of these understandings. Green mountains are always walking, and eastern mountains travel on water. You should study this in detail." A little later he says, and this is another essay, and it's often quoted. "To study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by myriad things. When actualized by myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, drop away." So he's talking here about studying the self, studying the Buddha, studying the way. And to some extent, that's a little bit different than sitting and just letting go of thoughts. Or it could be different than sitting and just letting go of thoughts. we talk about abiding peace, stillness. But I think in that stillness is activity. There can't be our practice can't be without activity. We are dead without activity. And so our practice of meditation is engaging, and I would say engaging in investigation and engaging in inquiry. I think, you know, in my years of practice that I've bumped into a lot of people who are practicing and studying Zen. And I, you know, I'm always interested, what brings people to practice Zen? What brings people to come here, to sit, to study? And usually, they want to find something. Usually, there's a question. Usually, they want to understand something. And it may be understanding something very personal, very painful. It may be wanting to understand, what is this life about? But there's usually a question that brings people to this practice. It's usually a question. You know, what brings me to the practice is a curiosity. A curiosity. I'm just very, very, very curious about what this is. I was having breakfast earlier this week with somebody who recently went through our initiation. So it's stepping, taking the precepts, formally stepping onto the practice path, the Zen practice path. And in that conversation, I asked him, I said, "Well, anything change?" And of course, not much had changed. But I remember when I took that step. I didn't expect anything to change, but I was very curious what the next step would bring. And the next step is not any different than the step into the bathroom this morning when I got out of bed. The next step after initiation, after taking the precepts, is no different than that first step out of bed in the morning. It's no different. And to be open to the possibilities, to be curious about what's going to arise, is what brings me to my practice. So when I think about, this is one way to think about our Zazen practice, our meditation practice. That's just an angle on it. And that is, our Zazen practice is an investigation of the present moment, an inquiry into the present moment. Lightly laying our consciousness, our awareness, on the present moment with curiosity. What's going to arise? What is arising? What is it that thus comes? Investigating the present moment to be intimate with the present moment. Not investigating it to find an answer, a cognitive answer about, well, what is life, or what is understanding this, you know, the present moment in some intellectual way, but in some deep, visceral way, understanding the present moment. Guishan, is the founder of one of the five schools of Zen, and before he came to the practice, he was a scholar and an intellectual, and when he was asked by he spent a few nights with at a monastery. He and some of his friends were off on a pilgrimage. And he was. They spent the night at the monastery, and as they were leaving the next morning, the master of the monastery asked Guishan, "Where are you going?" Guishan responded, "I don't know." And the master responded, "Not knowing is most intimate. Not knowing is most intimate. You're traveling, you're on a pilgrimage, you're seeking something, but not knowing is most intimate." So, as I said, I think people come with a question sometimes, and it's a question about what is impermanence, what is this life. But other times people come with questions of a personal nature, of a challenge. They've been hurt. They are going through a divorce. They've lost their job. They've gone through some personal traumatic event, life event, and they're seeking some community, and they're seeking some space to heal and seeking some understanding. And when people are in that space and have those questions, again, what we offer in our practice is not an intellectual sorting out or understanding of those things. It's sitting with the question, sitting with the pain, and just inquiring about it. Now, of course, we spend hours sorting things out as we sit in our facing the wall and try to figure out what went wrong or how we can fix it. But that our practice is to go deeper than that, is to go, you know, beyond the limitations of our human consciousness to understand or to investigate those questions. And also, we're bombarded daily. Is Europe going to collapse? We have wars going on. We have environmental destruction, and in some our practice is also. I mean, that's a question. We sit with that constantly, and we invest in. And how do we sit with those kinds of things swirling around us? And it's all right. It's all right to sit in silence as the world changes. There's nothing really to do about it. Nothing to do about those big issues, except understand them at a real level. Now, that's not encouraging you not to be concerned and be active, but the questions that we bring when we sit with those realities are not answerable in a cognitive, intellectual way. So, what is this questioning? This investigation, the investigation of the minute, the moment, investigation of what's arising, of that investigation of impermanence. How do you investigate impermanence? I mean, it's kind of like a cloud in a blue sky, investigating the space around it. It's like a bird's song in the springtime, investigating what the leaves are, the green leaves that are coming out. That's the kind of investigation. Those are. It's not an investigation to find an answer. It's not an investigation to find an intellectual answer. And then this sense of investigation of the moment can also be something that you do throughout the day. And I go back to the sense of curiosity. What is it that's arising? So as you're going through your day, occasionally to stop and relax and just be curious about what's coming up. And you can do that in the middle of a meeting. You can do that while you're riding your bike down the street. You can do it while you're eating dinner. To stop, take a breath, say, what is this? What is this that's arising? And it can often be useful to do that throughout the day and let go of your agenda. Let go of the next thing that you want to happen. Let go of what you're aiming for. And stop and just be curious about that aiming. Just be curious about the noises that are arising around you or the sight. So, again, although our practice is one of stilling the mind, it is also one of being upright and alive and curious. It's dancing with the present moment. It's active. It's not passive. And although it's an investigation, it's an inquiry into the present moment, it's not an inquiry that's seeking an answer. In fact, if an answer arises, it's going to be beyond the limits of our human consciousness. It's not that some great idea won't pop into your head and solve all your problems while you're meditating. But that's not what it's about. It's not seeking an answer in that way. And it's a gentle questioning. It's an alive questioning. As I say, it's sitting down. I encourage you to ask yourself why you sit down, why you meditate. I hope everybody here meditates, right? Regularly. Ask yourself why you do it. I mean, what is it that gets you to sit down? As I say, for me, it's a sense of curiosity, of openness to the possibilities. What is the next moment? So I'm actually done with my talk. So I'm opening it up. Does anybody have anything they want to throw in?
I do.
Yes.
You asked what brings me to my practice?
Yes.
Very simple answer for me, my car.
Thank you. You know, that's meditation can get very serious, You know what I mean? And that's humor. I don't know. I mean, I think there certainly is lightness and joy in meditation. And there's a role for lightness and joy. As I say, my practice, it's one of curiosity. But if it's humor, it's probably not your standard joke. You know what I mean? It's probably something else.
I actually wrote a blog post about curiosity and meditation. I think they're inextricably linked as well. And I think that that it's the, for some people that's what you know, humans don't do things that don't give them some sort of pleasure. And that curiosity that sort of leads you down the path and that you're indulging is where some of the pleasure comes from. Mm-hmm. Of enjoying having meditation not be a chore, but something that draws you.
Mm-hmm. Other comments? Questions? Yeah.
I appreciate the talk, and I really agree with a lot of it. Definitely the required nature of it. There's a couple things there that I got a little bit lost with, at one point, we were kind of talking about how, let's not get hung up, or these are my words, don't get attached to finding that answer. Mm-hmm. Like that. And you said you may not be able to. Can't find an intellectual answer for a lot of it. But I get that, just a strictly kind of rational level. Yeah, in my mind, there are other kind of levels of awareness or, spectrum of consciousness that we have. If I can kind of touch base with, a good part of that spectrum. So I'm not just hung up on one little band of my awareness. But then, cognitively, one of the precepts is right, you can understand a lot of it cognitively. So cognitive, really developed cognitive thinking are, let's just say, our best and humanal thing, which is a good thing.
Yep.
So sometimes cognitive can get around places where it's not a thing,
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. This really, as deep as you can and as wide as you can, maybe with our understanding.
Yeah.
But there's one other thing about it all.
It'll come back to you.
Yeah, but it was about, so the present moment too, and about inquiring about that. I agree that, I don't know what's going to happen in the future if I keep sitting and sitting, but the future is going to be an idea.
Right.
But the present moment is, it's present moment. But for me, it's like I'm curious about what's arriving in me in this present moment. So what's really driving me, all these pushes and pulls that I get from things that are right here, it's like, and trying to kind of find out, that can really inform my practice, because what's arriving is, form. Form of my consciousness is now rising in this other present. But I just think that form, that motivation, whatever that's arising, the form, it is that emptiness, or it's the form of emptiness arising in the form of all these
things. Still true. Yeah, very much so. There's no getting away from what's arising and what is true. What's arising is true. I mean, your thoughts are true reality. Other thoughts or comments? Questions? Yeah.
You're a CEO of a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for people who might be HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
Who might be drug addicted.
Mm-hmm.
Who might be eating poorly.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you give them?
Eat better.
I have to say that there's nothing to be.
There's nothing to be. I don't know. Well, there probably, yeah, I mean, there probably is. I don't know that I said that. So in terms of folks who, for instance, people that my agency serves, people do need to have food, shelter, clothing, and medicine. Those are the four that the Buddha mentioned before you talk to them about the Dharma, really. So I don't talk to people about the Dharma, really, at work. Although I would hope I expound the Dharma continually at work. Did that answer your question, Guy?
Well, I'm kind of curious.
Yeah.
Because you work in such a situation, you know, with people you curl.
Yeah.
And there's always that tension between kind of just sitting and being curious and actually,
doing
something.
Taking
action. Yeah. As a bodhisattva.
Yeah. And, you know, so this is kind of not has nothing to do with my talk, but I certainly see my work as an expression of compassion and interestingly, and it's kind of in compassion in the sense of brotherly or sisterly love and care and concern. And if I'm faced with somebody who doesn't have a house or doesn't have food or who is addicted, my expression of that compassion or concern, brotherly or sisterly love, is my work. And I've learned in my job that I can't be attached to results. And we just, not to get into it, but we recently, after working with a guy for 7 years, who had a lifetime of addiction, who probably in the 7 years that he lived with us had as stable and calm a life as he's ever had, and he was older than me, who just kind of got the addiction got totally out of hand, and we ended up having to discharge this guy from his setting because otherwise he would have kind of destroyed a lot of people going down. And a week later, he was hit by a car. And a week after that, he died. And, you know, that's incredibly difficult, more so for the people who are working directly with him day in and day out and became very intimate with him. But it's an example of not having to not be attached to the outcomes of your work, or not being attached to the results of your work. And it does help in those situations to put the energy out there with as clear and clean a motivation as possible. And to some extent, just be curious about what the results are. And sometimes they're the results you want, and sometimes they aren't. But so, to your point, or to your question, I think it's still relevant to be curious. And yeah, to be open. I'm going to go there. Yes. Part of the reason, so first of all, I do encourage the practice of sitting and letting go of thoughts. I encourage that practice. I specifically chose this topic of meditation being an active engagement. Yeah. And you can't have the silence without the rising of the thought, the rising of the symbol. I mean, they're one and the same. And you know, we realize nirvana, big term, is realized through it can only be realized through thought, through emotions, through microphones, through... There's no other way to realize wholeness. So, there's no rejection. I mean, Well, there is rejection. I mean, we struggle. But to your point, I think your process was just fine. If your process was just fine, I wouldn't get hung up on it, though. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't try to recreate it. And isn't it amazing? So, I mean, your mind can really come up with some really just funny stuff. It's like, oh my God, yeah. Well, thank you, because I think that's very simple, and it's not, kind of uncomplicated, and I think it's not uncommon reason for people for meditation.
I'm glad you mentioned curiosity, because when we're talking about coming here with a question, or if you're coming, what drew me to coming in here, and let's see what happens if I do this. And one of the things in my short time here that really appealed to me was someone used the phrase a goalless goal. You know, so let's see what happens, but it's just going to happen, and it's one of the few times, and I feel like in life, where you can have a goalless goal, or just doing this, and what happens, you know, it's going to happen, you know what I mean? And that's curiously what I was curious about, you know? So, that kind of validated. That goalless goal, that really appealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So, yeah. This good for nothing zazen. Matt, were you gonna say something or no?
Well, yeah, I was just gonna say that I appreciated your talk. That you seem to be encouraging the activity of it in a real way. Like, I think if we try to understand curiosity as or inquiry as the way that we do when we're trying to learn things or inquiring into topic, but this is, I feel like you're using the best words you possibly can to invite the activity of it, that it's going forth into it, but not with the results, and relative or absolute is irrelevant how you take that, when you take that approach. So I really appreciate that.
Thanks. Anything else? Yeah, not knowing is most intimate. And you know, when I think about that, an intimacy is used a lot in Zen. And you know, I don't know how to say it, but that's the process of investigation, becoming intimate with. And it's not a conceptual thing. It's entering, just entering. And, you know, I mean, the word exploring comes to mind. I kind of like that metaphor about a cloud exploring space around it. I kind of like that metaphor. I don't want to
The same thing, but with a puddle.